Today is the third Sunday in Lent. The scripture lessons are from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 through 20, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Today's message is titled, The Way to Life. The prophet Ezekiel, chapter 33, beginning at verse 7. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sins, but you will have saved yourself. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, son of man, say to your countrymen, the righteousness of the righteous man will not save him when he disobeys, and the wickedness of the wicked man will not cause him to fall when he turns from it. The righteous man, if he sins, will not be allowed to live because of his former righteousness. If I tell the righteous man that he will surely live, but then he trusts in his righteousness and does evil, none of the righteous things he has done will be remembered. He will die for the evil he has done. And if I say to the wicked man, you will surely die, but he turns away from his sin and does what is just and right, if he gives back what he took in pledge for a loan, returns what he has stolen, follows the decrees that give life, and does no evil, he will surely live. He will not die. None of the sins he has committed will be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He will surely live. Yet your countrymen say, the way of the Lord is not just, but it is their way that is not just. If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he will die for it. And if a wicked man turns away from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he will live by doing so. Yet, O house of Israel, you say, the way of the Lord is not just. But I will judge each of you according to his own ways. Here ends the first lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone. Leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teachings, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As a child, I remember every summer my mom would take me and my siblings to vacation Bible school. The earliest memories I have of vacation Bible school was way back in the summer of 68. Yes, 1968. And it was down at Maxwell Air Force Base, Montgomery, Alabama. The vacation Bible school was held at the base chapel. So for the fun of it, I did a quick search on the internet. I pulled up pictures of the base chapel on Maxwell Air Force Base. And you know, it looks the same as I remember it. Stained glass and all. Vacation Bible school and singing, "Jesus Loves Me." Through the years, "Jesus Loves Me" has been a staple of summer vacation Bible schools, a staple of youth gatherings through the years. It's easy to learn, easy to remember, and it's a great joy to sing, especially at the top of one's lungs. Do you have the images, or perhaps you yourself did? I did when I was younger. Images of children, boys and girls, lifting their eyes to the skies, tipping their heads back to let the sound flow. "Yes, Jesus loves me!" I mean, you're shouting, it's so full of glee and joy. The giddiness, the joy, the laughter. "Yes, Jesus loves..." Did you do that when you were a kid? I did. When that "yes" part came, I shouted that "yes" out as loud as I could. Today we began our time of worship singing, "Jesus Loves Me." Singing three verses. Verse one is the one most know. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong." And then get ready to belt it out. "Yes, Jesus loves me." Many know the second verse, "Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let His little child come in." "Yes, Jesus loves me." There's additional verses that may be sung. Do you know the history of the song, though? Do you know the history of the song? The year was 1860, and Anna Bartlett Warner penned the poem for a novel her oldest sister, Susan Warner, was writing. The novel was Say and Seal. 2 years later, the tune, along with the chorus, "Yes, Jesus Loves Me," were written by William Batchelder Bradsbury. William Batchelder Bradsbury. You may not be familiar with the name, but you're familiar with his work. He composed several other beloved hymns. Many of these hymns I love to sing, and I'm sure you do too. These hymns, "Just As I Am," "He Leadeth Me," "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us," "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less," and "Sweet Hour of Prayer." That's William Batchelder Bradsbury. Many hymns I love, many hymns you probably love too to sing. Now, the more the backstory of the sisters, Anna Bartlett Warner and Susan Warner. It's fascinating. And it'd be enjoyable to dig into even deeper at another time. But this moment, just a few brief things, knowing this will help you understand more. Their mother died when they were young, very young. Their father lost most of his fortune in the panic of 1837. It left them pretty much destitute, so it brought them to a dilapidated old farmhouse from the Revolutionary War era, and it was near West Point. And that was the year 1838. To help make ends meet, the sisters began to write and would earn their livelihood doing so through the years under pen names. They would hold Bible studies for the cadets of West Point and sharing the love of Jesus with them. They never married. The popularity of Jesus Loves Me became so widespread that these two sisters were buried with military honors in the West Point Cemetery, the only civilians to have that done for them, for their care of the spiritual health of the soldiers. The words, "Jesus Loves Me," were first spoken in a novel, Say and Seal, to comfort a dying child, Johnny Fax, by a Sunday school teacher, Mr. John Linden. Mr. Linden picks up the boy in his arms and strolls the floor back and back. This is the action in the novel. Strolls the floor back and back and forth, calming and consoling the little boy, Johnny Fax. The boy asks his teacher to sing to him. So Mr. Linden begins singing a song to soothe the child, a song that seems to have come out of nowhere. No one knew it. No one had ever heard it before. Time passes, and so does the child pass, gone to be with the Jesus who loves him. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's the words Mr. Linden was singing to Johnny Fax, consoling him in his arms as the little boy passes to be with the Lord. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me of the love of Jesus. And this is why we began singing the simple song that has traveled around the world with missionaries and born faith in oh so many, the love of Jesus. For the love of Jesus is the message of the Bible. The message of God's holy word written for us is love. Love. These words of Scripture are words of love for us, flowing from the heart of God, flowing from the very nature of God. These words of Scripture are words of love. They flow from the deepest nature of the Lord God's very being. Just as the beloved disciple John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." At times, I have wondered and questioned, and you probably too at times wondered and questioned, does God really love me? Have you had that experience? I have. I've done that. Does God really love me? These thoughts, for me, mostly come when life was extremely challenging and crushing and suffering. I mean, it's why me times. If God loves me, why is this happening? I've experienced that. More than likely, if you've experienced the hardships of life bring about this question of life and love. Does God love me? Why is this happening? Why am I suffering? God doesn't love me because I'm... You know how that thinking goes. We've all, in one way or another, had similar times in our life. It's all the more reason to reach for the Scripture and be reminded, yes, Jesus loves me. Sing it out. Belt it out at the top of your lungs to crush the doubt and sorrow in the soul with the loving compassion of Christ Jesus, the Lord. Now you may be wondering why I have focused on the, yes, Jesus loves me so far, and haven't even touched upon today's readings from Ezekiel nor the Gospel of Luke yet. This is the reason. We, each of us, must hear. We all need to hear from the context, from the reality of, yes, Jesus loves me. We need to hear these words from Ezekiel and Luke chapter 13 from the reality, yes, Jesus loves me. That framework, that context of the heart and character of the living God is love that is speaking these words recorded in the Scripture. Love. Love for the broken, fallen humanity is the reason and the why the Lord has Ezekiel and Jesus calling the people to repent. The Lord's great love is to not see one perish. That's how great the Lord's love is, not to see one. It's written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And it's also written in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? The Lord wants everyone to come to repentance. This is the love of the Lord speaking to us, fallen and sinful humanity. We are sinners by nature. That is what we are. Ezekiel chapter 33, starting at verse 7. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. It is love. It is love for another that compels us to speak out to the wicked who will surely die unless turning from his ways. Turning from the ways of the world to the ways of the Lord. I could go add on and over and over for the headlines of today are replete with examples of the insanity in the ways of the wicked in the world today. Example, one of the insanities is what's happening right now in the NCAA Women's National Swim Meet to the ever-changing definition of disinformation concerning COVID, to whose the laptop really belonged to. Oh, it does belong to him. How many times has the word of the Lord written as Ezekiel said, wicked, turn from your ways. Disinformation, information, misinformation. You know how it's been going back and forth these past couple of years? That's the ways of the world. The truth is the way of the Lord. Ezekiel 33, beginning at verse 14. And if I say to the wicked man, you will surely die, but he then turns. He then turns away from his sin and does what is just and right. If he gives back what he took in pledge for loan, returns what he had stolen, follows the decrees that give life and does no evil, he will surely live. He will not die. None of the sins he has committed will be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He will surely live. Yet your countrymen say the way to the Lord is not just, but it is their way that is not just. Now the flip side, still there in Ezekiel 33. If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he will die for it. And if a wicked man turns away from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he will live by doing so. Yet, O house of Israel, you say the way of the Lord is not just, but I will judge each of you according to his own ways. If the wicked would turn from his ways and do what is just and right, meaning walking in the ways of the Lord, he will surely live. Here again, verse 19 from the Hebrew. When turns the wicked from this wickedness and does what is lawful and right, because of it he shall live. In other words, the wicked repented. The wicked one repented. That's what it means. Turned away from wickedness. Turned towards the ways of the Lord. That is repentance. Turning away from the ways of the wicked and turning to the ways of the Lord. From the loving heart of the Lord, the prophet Ezekiel speaking the word of the Lord was very clear. Do what is evil, live in wickedness, and you will die. Why? Because of the iniquity. Because of the wickedness. More plainly said, because of the sin, he will die. Love gives the warning. Love speaks out and calls sin, sin. Even when the mainstream media of today derides the faithful expression of the Lord's love, as Christians speak the word of God, that what is taking place is sin. It's contrary to the Lord's commands. It's contrary to the design for family. It's contrary to human sexuality. It's contrary to children's innocence and purity. Contrary to what is the truth. The Lord's love compels us as Christians to speak the word of the Lord. What is happening today can be compared to these words written in Ezekiel 33, verse 20. Yet, O house of Israel, you say, the way of the Lord is not just. But I will judge each of you according to his own ways. When people say the Bible no longer applies, or they say we know more than they did when the Bible was written, these people are saying the way of the Lord is not just. That's essentially what they're saying when they're saying the Bible no longer applies, the Scripture no longer applies. When they say we know more than they did back then when the Bible was written, they are essentially saying the way of the Lord is not just. Ezekiel 33 is about a watchman calling out a warning. Will the people hear? Will the people respond and return to the Lord? Will the wicked forsake their ways? Or in the words of Jesus found in Luke chapter 13, unless you repent, you too will perish. Now remember the context of these words. These hard words that sound harsh. Remember how we began worship today? Remember just a few minutes ago, this message began, yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Love. Jesus is speaking love, full of love when he says, unless you repent, you too will perish. Does the Lord delight in people perishing? No. Does the Lord take pleasure in the death of the wicked? No, not at all. This is why the love of the Lord commanded Ezekiel to speak the word of the Lord for the wicked to turn from their ways. This is why Jesus, the Son of God, full of love, is saying, unless you repent, you too will perish. It's written in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is love that wants us to see and receive the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is love that wants us to turn away from the wages of sin, turn away from the way that leads to death. There it is, plain to see and understand. The way of wickedness, the way of evil, the wages of sin is death. That is to perish. Or there is the gift of God. There is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the parable of the fig tree, in Luke chapter 13. For 3 years, the owner has come looking for figs on the fig tree planted in his vineyard. 3 years and no figs from a tree, taking up space in his vineyard. To the caretaker, the command is given, cut it down. To which the caretaker replies, it's written in Luke chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig it around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. In that translation, there's something missing that you will not see easily. You need to go to the Greek to see it. And it's in the phrase, leave it alone. There's a better way to translate that word and more familiar to you than leave it alone. In the Greek, the word number of the root word is Strong's number 863. And use a strong concordance, using a strong concordance, wherever that number 863 word is found, it'll show you the verse and how it's translated. So using Strong's 863, you can find where and how this Greek root word is used. And also find the English word most often used in translating the word. Do you dare take a guess at what the word most often used in translating Strong's 863 is? The word is forgive. Yes, the root word is forgive. Forgive. And guess where this word can be found? In Luke, many times. To the paralytic, lowered through the roof, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees respond, who can forgive sins but God alone? Both times, it's the same Greek root word, forgiven and forgive. Strong's 863. To the woman, written about in chapter 7 of Luke, whose weeping tears wetted Jesus' feet, wiping with her hair and kissing his feet, pouring perfume on Jesus' dirty and smelly, dusty feet, wetted with her tears. To her, Jesus says, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much. Forgiven, Strong's 863, the same root word. Luke chapter 11, in the Lord's Prayer, verse 4, Luke chapter 11, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Forgive, forgive. Both of those times, it is Strong's 863, the same root word. Even more powerful, Luke chapter 23, as Jesus is being nailed to the cross, verse 34 of Luke 23, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Forgive, Strong's 863. Luke chapter 13, verse 8, can be translated, Sir, the man replied, forgive it. Forgive it for not bearing fruit. Forgive. That's what that word, leave it alone, means. Forgive. Another year caring for the tree and see what happens. Let's speculate. The year passes and comes the owner again looking for figs. Oh no, no figs. To which the caretaker can say, forgive for another year. And another year after that, and another year after that, another request, forgive. And that request would be honored. You know, it's written in 2 Peter chapter 3, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Come to repentance so God may forgive. Forgive. Forgive as seen of Jesus forgiving the many sins. Forgiveness as the central message of the commission given to the apostles. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 46. Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Do you notice? Repentance, forgiveness of sins. That is what the apostles will be sent with power from on high. How many years will the fruitless tree be given a reprieve? Don't know. Not forever, for a day will come. The day is coming when the axe will be laid to the root, just as John the Baptizer called out in the wilderness as he was preparing the way of the Lord. It's written in Luke chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. John the Baptizer cried out, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Coming back then now to Jesus loves me. The nature and heart of the living God. Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Forgiveness is there. Forgiveness is there for all. Forgiveness is there for you. Repent. It's so easy to say and so hard to do. For turning around from our ways is contrary to human nature. The human nature that seeks the self and the self-needs and self-desire above all other things. It's hard to repent and turn from that. The love of Christ Jesus says, repent. Repent means to change one's way of living that flows from a complete change in thought and attitudes, forsaking the way of sin and living the way of righteousness as set forth by the Lord, as written in the Scriptures. Repent is more than being sorry and having contrition for sin. That's often emphasized. No, rather repent, really here, to understand repent is to stress the total new way of living life in the ways of the Lord. It's the way of life. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. Jesus loves me, when I die, will take me home. Repent, unless you repent, you all will perish. Those are harsh words, but yet those are words of the gospel. And they are words full of love, for they speak the way of life. The way of life is repentance, and that means turning from the ways of this world to the ways of the Lord. It's turning back to God, who loves you so much. God does not desire anyone to perish. Not the wicked, not the sinners, no one. He's patient with us. But unless you repent, you too all will perish. The parable of the vineyard, the fig tree in the vineyard. But sir, forgive it. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is yours. It's a free gift from God. The way to life is through forgiveness. And the way to that forgiveness is through repent. Repent and live. That's the way to life. It's the way to life in Christ. And Christ speaks these words to us in Ezekiel chapter 33, in Luke chapter 13. The Lord speaks these words to us out of the abundance of His love for us, so that we turn and live. Live eternally with Him in heaven. Now, do you understand how much God loves you? And even in those harsh words of Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, they are words of love, so that you will walk with Him, talk with Him, be with Him, and live with Him. For Christ died on the cross and rose on the third day to give you life. He brought forgiveness of sins by paying the wages of sin with his own life. Now, do you see how much you are loved? Go and live the life, the way of life in Christ the Lord. Amen and amen.